Doing okay? Everybody good? Hello? You guys doing all right? Good. It's good to see you. I'll be honest with you, the first service, it is hard to explain what it is like to do what I do on Sunday mornings when I preach and stuff. It's really hard to explain what it's like. I'm sure a lot of people, I've said this probably recently, I think, a lot of people probably think I've got all this planned out and it's all perfect noted and all this stuff. And to be honest with you, what's usually in front of me is scripture and that's about it. A few points maybe here or there or something, but usually I'm reading scripture off my iPad is really all I'm doing. And I like the iPad because it's backlit and it's kind of dark up here, to be honest with you. It is just amazing sometimes what God chooses to do. And I'm amazed at what he's chosen to do today. Already getting to preach through this passage this morning, I'm a little overwhelmed, to be honest with you. I wanted to say a couple things. First of all, Carrie Beth Duffel is with us this morning. She's not in this service. I think she was in the first service, but she's floating around somewhere this morning. If you get a chance to meet her, love on her. That's one of those folks that many of us are standing on the shoulders of that have gone before us in helping plant 24 Church years ago. Some of you were around for some of those days. And Carrie Beth helped is serving in a kids ministry role as our kids minister for a while and did a fantastic job. And I think back to those days, and if you weren't around for those days, I mean, my thoughts and most people, I think immediately going to loading and unloading trailers every week and setting up everything in schools and cleaning schools once when you get there and cleaning it again when you leave. And I mean, just all of this hard work and a lot of stuff that went on during those days. And for those of you that weren't there during those days, we're glad that you're here now. We could have really used you then, but we're glad that you're here now. And people like her stood through a lot of stuff and had to deal with a lot of stuff, and it was hard. It's even a blessing just to get to come out here. And as I walked out here, just thinking, you know, what a blessing it is that I'm going to walk up here and I'm gonna share God's word. And we just get to be here, and we didn't have to set it up this morning, and we didn't have to clean it last night, and you know, all these other things. Although there are people doing those things, I'm just extremely grateful this morning to get to do that. So if you see her, tell her thank you and love on her. Also, just want to say a thank you to the guys that went with us this week to help haul my buddy back and get his. Get his belongings, moving him from Georgia, about a 7-hour trip one way. We did that. We left out here Tuesday morning really early, and we got there Tuesday afternoon and managed to load all of his stuff into 3 trailers that night and then turned around and came back first thing Wednesday morning. And we're back here and had his stuff loaded in storage units, and some people even just came and met us at the storage units to help with that. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for your help. What a blessing it was to get to serve with you. What happens in Georgia stays in Georgia. So we had a good time while we were there. So no reason in being bored while you're serving Jesus, right? That was this week. Well, here's the deal this morning. Guess what's about to happen? We are about to shut down the book of Acts. How about that? So is that good? That good with everybody this morning? We're going to do that today. If you're good with it, go ahead and get your Bible out. We're going to go to Acts chapter 28, and if you don't have a Bible, we've got ushers, and our ushers have Bibles, and they will be glad to bring you a Bible. Just throw your hand in the air and wave it like you don't care, and they will bring you a Bible, and you can follow along with us. Acts 28, if you don't own a Bible, take it, and it's a gift. If you just left one in a truck, you can borrow it and put it back on the bookshelf when you're done. Acts 28, and we're going to verse 17 this morning. And if you're just tuning in, I feel like I've done this a whole lot. If you're just tuning in, Paul, one of the apostles that God himself appointed, saved him, struck him down blind one day when he was on his way to go capture Christians, people talking about Jesus, struck this guy blind and said, "You, my friend, are now coming to serve me, and you will share the gospel. And not only will you share the gospel, you'll share the gospel with all people and even kings." And so from that day forward, Paul understood his purpose in his life. And one of the things that we can also take from that is that from the day that Paul was born, God had a plan for Paul. And I don't know about you, but I can rest in that, and I can hear that, and I can be encouraged in that. Because for us to realize that God has a plan for each and every one of us is a huge piece. So we're like, whatever's going on in your life today, whatever's going on right now, however crazy it may be, however crazy things may seem, let me just tell you something, okay? You ready? Here you go. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. Because God has a plan, and it's all part of the plan. And even in the crazy that Paul, we've seen Paul go through so much stuff, he knew that he was supposed to take the gospel to Rome. He knew that he was supposed to take the gospel to Caesar. He knew that that was one of those kings that he was supposed to tell about Jesus to further the kingdom of God, to further the advancement of people knowing who Jesus was. That was his purpose in life. And today we're going to find out a little bit about what our purpose is as well in life. And so as we're reading through this today, we think back on Paul, and Paul's been through a lot to get here. He was shipwrecked. He's been in prison several times. He was bitten by a snake. Just like one thing after another, just trying to get to Rome. Okay? And end of last week, in the end of the message last week, the last verse, if you look back at verse 16, he has made it to Rome. And here we are, and today we're getting to talk about him being in Rome. And I think about Paul, and I think about, like, what's it like to be Paul in this moment, to think, like, I finally made it to this place that I've been trying to get to all along. And I just got to believe that he's, somewhat like, JoJo the Jumping Boy, and he's, like, about to go crazy, because he's finally gotten to this place. And I'm sure that in his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to get here, and it's going to be like fireworks, and it's going to be amazing, And it's not so much. Acts 28, verse 17, it says this. It says, after 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, and he's using this terminology, kind of saying, hey, I'm one of you guys. Don't forget, I'm a Jew. I'm one of you guys. I came from you guys. Don't look at me weird. It says, brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty, wished to set him free, because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I am wearing this chain. And they said to him, we have received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are with regard to this sect. We know that everywhere it is spoken against. Okay. So Paul has made it to Rome. He's been trying to get to Rome all along. I mean, this has been key to his mission that he knows God has given him. Okay. And he gets to Rome. And he gets to meet with a group of folks here. He's not meeting with Caesar yet, okay? And you're going to be kind of scratching your head a little bit here in a little bit. You're like, what about Caesar? Where's Caesar? When are we going to get to Caesar, okay? Just chill out, all right? I know you're ready. So here he's gotten the ear of all of these folks that have come together. And these are folks that serve under Caesar. And he's getting to tell them, hey, here's the deal. I've come all of this way. I've been through all of this stuff. And I've come here because I want to tell Caesar about Jesus. I want to tell you guys about Jesus. And so he's gotten to them, and he makes this case for himself. Well, the funny thing is, there was a letter that was supposed to go before him to tell them, hey, this guy Paul, he's going to come, and we tried to set this guy free a couple of times, and he kept appealing to Caesar. So we've sent him on. We've sent him on. It didn't seem to be anything wrong with him. He just, you know, he's one of these guys. Well, here's the issue. They never got the letter. The letter's been delayed, okay? And it's not really, it really shouldn't be a surprise to us when you think about everything Paul has been through to get to Rome and the delays that really should have taken place that didn't with weather. So, for example, you know, Paul was shipwrecked, but the reason that he was a part of this big, huge shipwreck deal is because there were a bunch of greedy sailors. And the greedy sailors wanted to make their money, and they wanted to make it now. You know, that guy on TV is like, you've got money, and you've got it now, you know, kind of thing. It's kind of the same thing. So, the sailors, they wanted their money. So, they did not want to wait through the winter. They wanted to get it and go. And so, they go and sail, even despite Paul telling them, guys, this is not what God wants us to do. Of course, they don't know God yet, so they're kind of like, you know, well, who cares what you say? So they just go on with it. And so what happens is they get shipwrecked. Things happen, you know, bad things happen. They have delays as it is. But to imagine, you know, back then, a letter that was going to be taken to somebody, you know, it wasn't like, you know, send an email or, you know, FedEx is going to go on without us or, you know, whatever it is, okay? So the deal is the letter didn't go. They didn't get the letter. So here they are, and they're like, well, we didn't get the letter, but we want to hear. We want to hear what you have to say, because everywhere that we've been, we've heard people talking against this sect that you're a part of. And people have been speaking against it, so we want to hear what you have to say, and we want to make up our own minds, which is encouraging. They've opened the door to the gospel. Verse 23, it says this. It says, when they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses, and from the prophets. I think it's interesting. I really pay close attention when Luke is writing the words that he uses. Luke was a doctor. He was very well educated. Probably not like a lot of the writers that wrote throughout Scripture that God used, which is, I think, an awesome thing, too, that God will use anybody he wants to do whatever he wants to, including penning Scripture. And so with this particular situation, we've got a guy who's a doctor, who's well-educated, and he's very specific with his words. And if you pay close attention to what Paul is doing here, it says the appointed day for him, came to his lodging. From morning to night, he's testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Well, first of all, he's teaching them from Scriptures. He's teaching them from what they had as Scriptures then. He's taking the law of Moses. He's taking the law of the prophets. And he's showing them Jesus in those passages. If you were unaware, the Old Testament screams about a Messiah coming, a Savior coming. Jesus is coming. They don't know his name. They know he's going to be King of the Jews. And to them, that makes them think that it's a guy that's going to be on a chariot. He's going to have some crowns. He's probably going to have some cool robes. You know, basically dressed like Snoop Dogg these days with a cane or something, okay? And so, to them, they're King of the Jews. Not exactly what they were thinking of, all right? When Jesus came as a baby born in Bethlehem and all of that kind of stuff. But he's showing them, this guy came, the Messiah has come. He came, and you killed him, and he rose from the dead, and here we are. So here's the good news about Christ, the Messiah, God's Son, sent for us to save us, to redeem us of our sins. And so he's sharing the gospel with them. He is trying to convince them about Jesus from the Scriptures themselves that they had. You got to remember, at this point in time, they didn't have the Bible as we have the Bible, as all 66 books, Old and New Testament. They just had, at times, writings from what was mostly the Old Testament. And so he would take the Old Testament, as a lot of people were doing at that point in time, and trying to help them to see, this has been fulfilled. This has happened. Jesus has come. What you've been waiting on, it's the deal. And so this whole, like, they're trying to decipher, is this sect the real deal? Or is it just a cult? Or what's the deal here? So as it goes on, it says this, verse 24. And some were convinced by what he said. but others disbelieved. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, God's given me a mission. If God's given me a mission, I'm going to go in and we're going to knock that thing out, and it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be the deal, and it's going to be amazing. And sometimes the things that God calls us to do don't always end up looking that way. You know what I'm saying? To think about it like this, if you had your boss and they told you, they said, look, we're selling this product and you're gonna go downtown and we're going to send you to a couple places, already been on the phone with them. They're ready to go. And you're going to get down and you're going to sell them each the thing. You're going to come back. You're going to bring the money and everybody's going to get a paycheck and we're all going to be happy this afternoon. We'll all have pizza tonight. You know, you're thinking, well, that's great. You know, I'll go do that. That's what I'm doing today. That's my mission. That's my job for today. What happened with Paul here is kind of the same scenario as if, you know, our boss sent us and we got there and it turned out they didn't want to buy anything. And you're like, well, why did I come here? You know, I thought the whole point of me being here was you were buying this stuff. I didn't know that, you know, I was going to have to persuade you and try to convince you of something. And Paul is in this situation where he is trying to convince them. And it says, and some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And this for us, my friends, is a reminder for us. And this is an important reminder for us that not everyone who hears the gospel is going to believe in it. I mean, what seems like simple, unbelievable good news that we could believe in, have faith in, be trusted in, be saved by, it's hard for us to imagine that somebody might not believe it. But the truth is that there's people that don't. And there's probably people here today that are thinking, I don't believe. I don't believe, Chris. I want you to know, if you're there, we're glad that you're here, first of all. I want you to know that. I want you to be able to hear this. I want you to be able to listen to the Lord and let Him speak to your heart. Because here's what I've learned. My convincing or anybody else's is not what you need. You need to trust in Jesus. You need to listen to Him. You need to understand what He's saying to you through His Word. Now, Scripture teaches us some important things. And that's that, you know, for the gospel to go out, it must be heard. And how is it supposed to be heard if it's not preached? How is it supposed to be heard if it's not taught? You know, Paul lived his life on mission and on purpose and in God's will for living out God's story. We don't see much of Paul's story, you know? We don't see much of, like, Paul and his hobbies. And, man, I got, like, 10 hobbies. I mean, I love hobbies. You know, I can hobby myself to death. I don't know about you, but come to my basement, it's like the man cave. You know, it's awesome. You know, it's just, it's hobby central, okay? But, you know, we don't see much about Paul and his hobbies. We don't see much about that because he is 100% all about God's story, God's mission, which is making Christ known. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus, that's your mission too. That's my mission. That we would make Christ known. That people would know Jesus because they know us. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. So we shouldn't be surprised that when Paul, this amazing guy that God has used in amazing ways for the kingdom of God, that when he goes to the city that he's been trying to get to all along to tell them all about Jesus, that some disbelieved, and we kind of go, man, I can't believe that he'd go there, and that some, I would just think that everybody would just fall in line and they'd have a big party. And that's not the way it works. Because we can't save people. Paul can't save people. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. Your mom, dad, grandfather, grandmother, sister, brother, uncle, cousins, aunt, whatever, can't save anybody. Jesus does the saving. And so for us to recognize even this piece, where if you've been like I have been at times when you're talking to somebody about knowing the Lord and you're trying to convince them, and they just aren't believing, just remember, you can't save them. You may want to, and I know you want to, and it's out of love, and it's out of because you care for that person and all that. But at the same time, God has to speak to their heart, and they have to listen. Okay, we're gonna talk about that just a little bit more here in just a minute. You ever have a friend? I've got one of these friends. Let's just tell you about it. You ever have a friend that just won't listen to you worth a dime? I mean, I got this friend. I don't know if you got one like this or not, but he will call me for advice. Okay? Now, do you understand like what I'm saying here? Are you hearing me? All right? Because we're going to be talking about hearing and understanding and seeing here in just a minute. Okay? So you're hearing me. He'll call me for advice. All right? And then I will give him said advice. And then, you know, a week or two later, we'll be on the phone. Hey, man, how's it going? How'd that thing turn out? Well, you know, I know you told me to do this, but I did that. Why did you call me for advice? I love you. I'm glad that you called me. I'm glad to have you in my life. You never listened to me. And he never listens to me. Never, okay? And like, I mean, time and time again, I've seen this guy like, I mean, you know, and it's like, he'll make one dumb decision after another. Like, not that I've got it all right all the time, but I'm just like, you know, you're calling me for advice because you think I have a clue. I had a guy on the phone here about a week ago, and I was trying to make a deal on a machine. And I fix these machines and flip them and helps us out and everything. And I was, I get in that mode and I'm dealing. You know how it goes. Guys know how this is. We love it. We love Craigslist dealing. Raise your hand if you love Craigslist dealing. Come on, let me just give me a bunch of you lying. I love it. I'm not gonna lie. And so I'm trying to deal with this guy, and this guy claims to me, which turns out he's lying to me later on, but that's beside the point. He claims to me that he doesn't really know anything about these machines, okay? And he says, you know, I don't really know anything about these machines. I'm not really one of those guys that's really in it. I'm like, okay, well, whatever, you know? And so then I start trying to tell him the reason why his machine is not worth what he thinks it is. And I said, if you don't mind, I'll just tell you. I was being very kind. I wasn't trying to be a know-it-all or anything. But, you know, I start trying to, and he just interrupts me, cuts me off, and he will not listen to what I have to say. And by the end of the conversation, I am so mad that I call him a name on the phone and he hangs up. I called him greedy, just so, because I know you're wondering right now, what did he call him? You know, I called him greedy, all right? So you don't have to wonder the rest of the day, what did the preacher call that guy on the phone? Oh. And I think he was a little bit, but anyway, I'm not going to judge him on it. I guess I already did. Whoops. So, there's something about when somebody won't listen to us, that man, it just gets all over us, doesn't it? I mean, we want to be the authority on something. You know, everybody wants to be the authority on something. And the truth is that sometimes we just want to be heard. And sometimes it's hard for us not to take personal when somebody listens to us. And I've seen this happen in ministry. I've seen this within the church at times when somebody says, well, I shared this idea, but they didn't listen to it. And they get wound up and they let Satan use that to kind of get at them and be a reason for them to go, well, you know what? They don't want to listen to me. I'll just back out. You go on with yourself. You serve Jesus by yourself. I ain't got nothing to do with you. And that's not right. It's not who God's called us to be. I mean, Paul's sitting here. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you know, half these people aren't listening to me. And I've been sent here. God sent me here. This is the place that I'm supposed to come to. And there's no red carpets and there's no fireworks. And, I just thought this was going to be amazing. And we were going to have some awesome punch with orange sherbet in it at the end of the day. You know? And half you guys aren't even believing what I'm trying to convince you of, and it goes on in verse 25, and it says this. It says, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. And so not only did, were they not, you know, were some of them not listening to him, they basically got into disagreements and parted ways over the whole thing. After Paul said something very interesting. And I want to share with you what Paul said. And it says right here, it says, after Paul had made one statement. And here's the statement. It's kind of long, but it's not that long. So, but we're going to break it down because it's pretty important. It says this, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet. And so now Paul is quoting the book of Isaiah. And he's quoting the book of Isaiah and he's saying, you know, God spoke to them. And what he's basically doing is he's feeling led. The Holy Spirit is leading him to share this passage with them in this moment. And it says this. This is what he said to your fathers. Verse 26. Go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to you, the Gentiles. They will listen. So this is Paul's statement. They depart after the statement. They've been disagreeing. He says this statement. And then they just straight up, they're like, man, we got to go our separate ways. We're not getting anywhere. If you look at this statement, Paul sharing Isaiah's words, which God spoke through Isaiah, and it says this, it says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. How many times in life you heard something and you just didn't understand it? Why does it always feel like that it's like the most important moments of your life that someone is telling you something, and because you are so worried about trying to understand what they're saying that you don't understand it? Such as like when you get a ticket or something, you know, and a police officer's trying to tell you stuff. Not that I've been there that often. But, you know, when the police officer's trying to tell you something and you're like, okay, can you repeat that one part again? Because I didn't really understand that. Okay, you were going too fast. I'm writing you a ticket. You know, I mean, but we have those moments. But Paul's talking about them hearing the gospel. He's specifically, he's telling something that God told their forefathers. He's saying, look, you know, you're hearing, but you're not understanding what I'm saying. And I'll be honest with you, I think this is a whole lot of people that go to church and they're hearing stuff and they're like, yeah, I go to church and I hear the guy and he's up there, he talks, or I got this friend and he talks about Jesus and I listen to him, but I don't really, I don't know. Says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. And I think that because of the culture that so many of us have grown up in, of we've made Christianity about going to church, okay? And we've talked about this some. I'm not trying to harp on it. But we've got in our heads that being a Christian is about going to church. Let me just tell you something. Biblically, yeah, we're called to worship together, to meet together, to not give up meeting together. The book of Hebrews talks about not giving up meeting together, to come together. We see very beginning of the book of Acts chapter 2, people gathering together as the church. You know where they're gathering at a lot of times? In their homes. They're gathering together as the church. You know what they're doing? A lot of times they're not listening to someone preach to them or just singing songs, but they're doing things like breaking bread and eating together and having community with one another and being involved in one another's lives. They are not going to church. They are being the church. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the church for one another. And he's saying, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. And I think in this culture that we live in, where we've been brought up to, you know, being a good Christian is about going to church. And that's part of our faith, is meeting together and worshiping Jesus together. That's part of our faith. But it's not all of it. And there's so many people that I think that are going and they're hearing, but they're not understanding. And they're seeing, but they're not perceiving. It's not real. It's just a something that you do because it's the right thing to do. And what we're doing is we're training other people in our culture that don't know Jesus. This is huge, okay? We're training other people in our culture who don't know Jesus that to love Jesus is just about doing stuff. Man, that ain't it. We know that ain't it. We know that this is about a life-changing restoration that happens in our lives where God grabs a hold of us and he allows us to be forgiven for our sin and set free and healed from it. Verse 27 says this. It says, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed." And how many people are walking around in churches today, this morning, on Sunday morning, all over the globe, that are right there? Their hearts have grown dull, and their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they're closed. I mean, they're going through the motions, you know? Let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't want you to go through the motions. He didn't die that you would go through the motions. He died that you'd be free from all that. He died that you'd be free from sin. He died that we would be restored, that others would know him, that he would be made known. We'd be different. We'd be like aliens, it says. What goes on here? And it says this, and let me say this too. I think to be fair to the passage, to be fair to the scripture, I think for us to understand and know that above all, I think Paul is talking to those who have not believed, those who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus. You may be sitting here today and you may go, you know what? I'm not a Christian. And maybe you've been to church like all your life and you're not a Christian. I did that for one point in time in my life where everybody thought I was a Christian. And for several years, I went through the motions and I'd been baptized and all this kind of stuff. But the truth is I had never understood, heard, and understood the gospel. And then one day, I heard the gospel and God grabbed a hold of me. And he said, "Chris, you don't know me. You just know a lot about me." And so, in all fairness, Paul's really speaking to those people that are not believing in Christ. But he goes on and he says, but you're not hearing and you're not seeing and all of these things. But then he says this, "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and what? Turn. And turn. And I would heal them." If you're not a Christian, you probably didn't even know that you needed to be healed of anything. You probably were like, I'm doing pretty good, you know. I've been running my half marathons, you know. I'm one of those people now that, you know, all we do is we just wear marathon shirts everywhere we go so everybody knows I'm running marathons. I want everybody to know I'm running marathons, you know. You know those people? We've got a bunch of them around here. I'm messing with you. I think it's awesome. But the truth is this. Without Christ, we are slaves to sin. And without Christ, we need to be healed of our sin. The truth is this, though. We can't get rid of our sin. We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. We just sing about, "I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you." The reason we sing that is because we need Jesus. We need what God did for us, that while we were still sinners, like while we were still breaking God's heart, even in the midst of the moments when we were doing that, he allowed and gave his son to be a sacrifice on the cross to take the death that we deserve, to take our punishment that we deserve for our sin, that we might be free. It's pretty amazing. And so he says, "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." God heals sin. That is such good news. Because I'll tell you, I meet people all the time, and Satan has won battles at moments in my life where I have believed I am still a slave to some sin in my life that I'm never going to get past it. I'm just that way. I was born that way. I was raised that way. I came from this culture or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, the truth is that passages like this are here to remind us that we can be healed from it through Christ. It is believing in Jesus, believing in what he's done, putting our faith in him. Jesus is the only way. God heals sin. Check out James 5 if you don't believe it from this. It goes on here in verse 28. It says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And what Paul is saying here is he's saying, look, guys, you know, some of you not believing, I'm sorry for that. But what I have learned in ministry and what God has shown me is that when you guys don't believe, that I'm supposed to go on. I'm not supposed to stop sharing the gospel, but I'm supposed to move on to where I know that it needs to be heard, and I'm going to take it so that it can be heard. And so Paul's saying to them, you know, I'm going to go on to the Gentiles, you know. And they will listen, and he's saying they will listen because he knows that they will listen because he has shared the gospel with the Gentiles before, and they have embraced the gospel. And I look back, and I hate to say this, but I think this is very true. I think that we can look culturally at the Gentiles versus the Jews in these places and where they were, and probably had to do a lot with affluency and different things, of course, where they came from culture-wise, but you know, I really believe that part of the reason why the Gentiles were so much more willing to embrace the gospel is because they didn't feel like that they had complete control of their lives like a lot of us like to think that we have in a very affluent culture like America. And so for someone in America who's not grown up, you know, hearing about Christ, for them to believe in Christ and trust in him is a very hard thing to do when we feel like, you know, well, I've got everything I need. You know, I've got a job, I make money, I do this, I don't need anything else, I'm doing good. The Gentiles understood there was something else out there, and they did need. And he knew that if he went to share with them, that they would listen. Verse 30 says this. It says, he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. So Paul, he's gotten to Rome. He's been sharing Jesus with a bunch of these folks. And now they're wound up and they're kind of splitting up with, you know, whether they're buying in, and some are buying in and some are not. And he takes up residency. I don't know if he, you know, he found like a nice little cute apartment, or, you know, he found a nice little place kind of run down and got a decent mortgage rate at the local bank or what. But Paul finds a place to live, and it says he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. And I'm guessing that means that Paul actually probably started working as a tent maker again, which he's done throughout his ministry. We've seen him do over and over, and this would be how he would support himself at times. And so he's got somewhere where he's got at least enough room to be making tents. I'd love to like go back in time and see if like Paul like had a tent shop going on right there, and we like you just go by and be like, well, what tents you got made? You know, what kind of models we got? I don't know. Be pretty cool. But in verse 31, it says this. This is what he did outside of living there and doing something to take care of being able to pay himself at his own expense to live there. It says in verse 31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So Paul, he's not just there. He's not just hanging out. He's not going, well, where's Caesar? Can you guys get me Caesar? Where's Caesar? I came here. God told me years ago this is what I was going to be doing. So just go ahead and just, you know. Or I'm thinking, if I'm Paul, you know, I'll just go. I mean, he's a tent maker. We'll just go camp out by like Caesar's, you know, place. You know, we'll just chill until, you know, Caesar like sneaks out one night during the night to like go ride a horse or something. And go like, hey, Caesar, wait a minute. I just need 5 seconds of your time. God sent me on a mission. I need to tell you about something. I need to tell you about this guy named Jesus. Here we go. You ready? Boom. Paul takes the situation that he's given, like we've seen him do 1 million times at this point, and he goes, okay, I know I'm supposed to be here. I'm going to get me a place. I'm going to pay for it. And what's it say he does? Proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Proclaiming. Everybody that came, he proclaimed to them the kingdom of God. He taught them about Jesus with boldness and, what's that say at the very end? And without hindrance. You know what I think? I think the whole book of Acts could be summed up with the last two words. Without hindrance. Without hindrance, God's mission will be done. God's will be done without hindrance. And the beauty of this particular picture of where Paul is, although we kind of want to feel sorry for him and go, well, I guess he just like hung out at this little place, whatever. Well, technically, remember this, if you want to feel sorry for him, you can keep feeling sorry for him because I'm going to give you even more to feel sorry about, is that he's technically still a prisoner because he still hasn't appealed to Caesar yet. And so he's waiting for that. And in the meantime, he got a place and he's telling everybody about Jesus. But the deal is he's doing it without hindrance. Well, even though he's on like house arrest or whatever he's got going on here, he's still sharing Jesus with everybody. Anybody that comes, boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ that they might know and believe in the only thing that saves. Without hindrance. It's singing a song to us that we could see that through the entire story of God that it is done without hindrance because nothing can stop him and nothing can stop his message. And even these people that had never met Paul before, who he goes to appear in front of in Rome, what did they say? We've already been hearing about this. We've already been hearing that in all groups, there are people that are talking against it. I believe that they were hearing about it because the church that God had called was a group of people that their eyes weren't closed and their ears weren't shut and their hearts weren't dull. But they were the people that should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and had been healed by Jesus himself. It's a little frustrating. It's easy to be frustrated with this point that we get to in the story. Because why? Because we came to the end of the story. At least what seems like the end of the story to us. The truth is we don't know when Paul got to go talk to Caesar. We don't know what happened there. We don't have the record of Paul and Caesar's conversation. We can't be 100% that he actually got to go there, but we believe that he probably did because that was a part of God's plan. But then again, I mean, you see some crazy stuff with guys like Moses, and you know, God was going to use Moses to take the guys to the promised land, and then that didn't happen because Moses fell into sin. I mean, we don't know. But whatever it is, Luke finishes writing at this point in time. And I'll be honest with you, I think if for no other reason that we could look at this and instead of being frustrated and going, what about Caesar? What about the kings? What's going to happen here? What's the next part of the story? I think for us to look at it and go, the next part of the story doesn't have anything to do with Paul. Next part of the story doesn't have anything to do with Luke. The next part of the story is this. Are you ready? The next part of the story is that we are living Acts 29 today. God's story is still going on. And we're either a part of it or we're like making up our own deal over here and we're missing out on the awesome, unbelievable things that God has for us. And you go, Chris, I'm not sure how awesome and unbelievable shipwrecks and snake bites are. I'm with you. I understand. But you know what? Sometimes the journey stinks. But what are we going to do about it? We're going to woe is me ourselves to death? I mean that could be what we do. Or are we going to go, you know what? I know what my mission is. My mission is that other people would know about Jesus. And I want other people to know about Jesus because it's what God's called me to. And that's my purpose in this life. That is God's story living through us. God's not done. And apparently you're not done if you're still sucking air. You know? There's still a reason that God wants us to be walking, talking, breathing, eating, and it is that others would know him. It is for his kingdom. So the question is, are your ears open? Are you listening? Are your eyes working or do you have them closed? Is your heart in a place where you're receptive to the gospel right now? Where you go, God, whatever you want to do with me, I'm game. My heart's open. I'm ready to go. Or is your heart dull and cold and closed up and you're like, man, I'm like shut down for business. I just don't even care. Nobody wants to live like that. And granted, you may have some amazing reasons why you're there. You may have some unbelievable reasons why you're there right now. And you go, Chris, you don't have any idea what we've been going through. You don't have any idea what I've endured in the last year, the last day, the last month, or whatever it is. But I'm just telling you, our freedom in Christ allows us to not have to stay there. And God's purpose for our lives is not that when the shipwrecks happen and those types of things that we just shut down and we go into isolation mode. It is that we use those moments of suffering and all of that stuff for his glory. Why waste it? Why waste those moments of our lives if God has given us reason to live? Read a couple of passages real quick and we'll close. Luke 14, the good doctor wrote the Gospel of Luke as well. These two books are the two books of the Bible that he wrote. In Luke 14, it says this, and this is Jesus. He says, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? I don't know about you, but I love me some salt on a tomato, okay? That's the way I was raised. And I'll just be honest with you, if you gave me salt and I had my tomato fresh out of the garden, big old juicy thing. That sounds real good right now, doesn't it? It's close you're going to get to that salsa these days, all right? So just go get you some Mexican later, all right? If the salt has no taste, what's the point in putting it on the tomato? Jesus is saying, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? What good is it? What purpose does it have? But he says, how shall it be restored? Then he says, it is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile, which is pretty graphic. It is thrown away. And what's he say here at the end? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. It is amazing to me. You go back, I've done just a little bit of this week. If you go back and you look through Scripture at how many times God talks about hearing and seeing and what that has to do with our relationship with him and us walking through this life, it is amazing some of the passages that you will come up with. I mean, that alone, he who has ears, let him hear. Think about what are we called to be? We're called to be lights, which are what? Seen. The gospel is supposed to be heard, which means it's supposed to be taught, preached, spoken. Ephesians 1, verse 13 says this. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We have been made heirs, and we have been promised salvation from Christ. And it goes on, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. It is an amazing promise that God has made to us, that we can know that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't have to die over and over for us. He died one time, and he rose from the dead one time. And that even despite our stupidity or whatever you want to call it, and our tendency to want to go back and run back towards sin and break God's heart again and again, we've been promised the guarantee of this inheritance that has come in Jesus Christ. God wants to save you. If he has not done so, he has sent his son Jesus to die for you. And all you got to do is believe. You can't earn it. You can't do anything for it. You can't come to church enough for it. We can't like have you come to church like 8 Sundays in a row. Go, come on, 2 months. And at the end of 2 months, we're going to give you a star and you get Jesus. Here you go. We try to give Jesus every week here, okay, by the way. God gave a gift while we were still sinners that we don't deserve, which is called grace. That if we would believe in him and trust in him with our hearts, that Jesus would save us and that his death would be the death that we deserved. He took our place and rose again from the dead to seal the deal and prove to everyone he is the Son of God and he has come to save. He is the Messiah. And this morning, the reason that we sing songs like I Need You, Lord, I Need You, is because we do. We need him. And for those of us that have already trusted and put our faith in Christ, we can be challenged today with where are our hearts? Are our hearts dull? Are they cold? Are we willing to serve Jesus? I'll close with this. I'll tell you, getting to go serve my friend this week was amazing. And I think one of the reasons why, and I talked to some of the guys that we were with, said it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to know on, you know, day to day, just living life. You know, if there's something like, you know, God wants you to do, you know, there's just not always like this thing that like, you know, like this is what God wants me to do right this minute, you know? And sometimes that gets a little frustrating for me. I don't know if it does for you. And I knew without a doubt that we were doing exactly what God wanted us to do in serving this guy and his family. I knew it. I had a peace about it. We were doing it. And even while we were doing it, I just told those guys, I said, it feels so good to serve Jesus right now. It feels so good to serve Christ right now. And it just, man, I'll just be honest with you. It woke me up a little bit and just said, Chris, this is your life. Your life is to be about this. What did Jesus come to do? He came not to be served, but to serve. And he did so as an example for the rest of us, that we would love others like he loved us. I mean, that's hard to remember in our busy, we got too much stuff going on lives. And so I just encourage you, don't let your heart be dull. Don't let your ears be blocked off. Don't let your eyes be closed. But let us be those people that are willing to turn to Christ, be healed from our sin, and serve him to make him known. Let's pray together.